I want to tell you about an experience I had. It was probably about a year ago at the Wisconsin Department of Motor Vehicles. I thought it was bad in California. I was floored by the length of the line, but I settled in for the wait. I decided I had better do something to occupy myself because boredom in line tends to increase my impatience, which is excessive, my children would say. So I began to simply look around me and to pay attention to who I was waiting with. And what an interesting bunch. There was a very young woman with two babies, and she was speaking to them in Vietnamese. And a very impatient man with some jeans that were barely covering his backside. The guy behind me was talking to his girlfriend on his cell phone about a friend of his who had just gotten paroled and was looking for a place to stay. The couple next to me were cuddling up close and speaking a language that was unfamiliar to me. So what I really loved, though, was a woman sitting across from me who was patiently writing out her bills and stamping the envelopes and making it into productive time. And finally, there was an old man who backed up his walker to have his picture taken for his driver's license. One thing that I looked at and saw when I looked around the room was that T-shirts were everywhere, including one that said, "No brain, no gain." I didn't quite understand that one. And then one that said, "The King lives." And that latter one kind of encouraged me as an outward expression of faith until I saw the other side of the shirt, and it was a picture of Elvis. So, but there we were. We were an interracial, international, and most likely interfaithful group of Wisconsinites. We were a very human bunch. We were patient and impatient. We were alone and communal, all bound together by one of life's most trying yet necessary experiences at the DMV. And I have to say that after a while of engaging in this observation of humankind, I was actually beginning to enjoy myself when they called my number. I was disappointed. I found myself, as I reflected on this, as I drove home, wishing the church looked more like the DMV on that morning. The church could be, I thought, the celebration of every possible form of person, from all possible walks of life, all kinds of lives, and many perspectives. Somehow we've gotten the idea that church is different from the rest of culture. We have trouble believing that we can come here as we are, to be who we are here. And when I say come as you are, I'm thinking that that includes a great many things. First, I guess, would be what we look like. Not only what we wear to church on Sundays, but the shape of our bodies and the mental state we're in, our color, our education, our background should really be as diverse as that line at the DMV. We should come here as we feel, not only about today, but also about our lives, where we have been and what we have done with our lives. The church, I've always thought, should be a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints. Those of us who carry shame or guilt or just plain scars from living can feel welcome and included here. We can come holding our beliefs and our doubts whether or not we have our positions down just right. Some of us feel that we shouldn't be here if we can't embrace Christianity in its entirety, or if we have doubts about what we believe. our beliefs ought to be diverse and challenging of one another, rather than having a cookie-cutter sameness to all of us. In fact, it is churches such as this one that ought to support the exploration of new ways of expressing our Christianity in our diverse world. A church can be open to embracing a vision that inspires a new society based on practicing and actively seeking justice and love. A place that heals and transforms us rather than requiring us to conform to some standard. I would like to be a part of a church that accepts me as I am, warts and all. I want to be a part of a body of believers, a community of faithfulness that accepts all kinds of people and experiences and counts itself lucky to be involved in that constant hum and buzz of a changing, challenging world. I want to be a part of a congregation that senses intuitively that we're here to seek a God who's found among us and with each other. The church itself is not holy, but it's worshipers who fill it with a sense of holiness as an outgrowth of our faith. The hope and the love that is present here is evident. Our gospel story for this morning tells of a conflict between Jesus and Peter and the rest of the disciples at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "You are the Christ." And Jesus then began to describe his life to Peter. But Peter, once again, simply doesn't get it. And he rebukes Jesus. But Jesus puts him down with that angry retort, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, I gotta believe in this instance, Jesus was frustrated by Peter's stupidity. And he really needed for Peter to get what it means, to understand the call to follow Jesus. He goes on to explain it in plain language, to get on the way, to come along, first deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Well, to deny the self is another way of saying, come as you are. If we were to use a phrase to get a handle on what this means today, we would probably say, it's not all about you. And paradoxically, it is all about you. It's about you and your relationship with God. Jesus' words here charge us to lose ourselves for his sake and the sake of the gospel. This is the paradox of the spiritual journey. We get to come as we are, and when we come, we get to let go of all that might separate us from the holy. We get to lay down ourselves, our egos, our fears, our anxiety, and our despair, so that we can find our lives again, life as God would have us live. Another way to say it is that you may be asked to deny yourself. Instead of clinging to all that you are accustomed to, you might allow this journey with others and with God to change your life. Change your life in ways that make you less fearful, less alone, less angry, more loving and caring. By getting on the way, as Mark calls it, we begin to open ourselves to the grace that God offers. Grace can transform our lives, but it's up to us to simply come as we are before God and give ourselves over to the love of God. Paul Tillich, the great theologian, calls this accepting our acceptance. He writes, "Accepted by that which is greater than you and the name of which you do not know." You can come here as you are. Come with all that you are, all that makes you human and searching and curious about who God is in the midst of human community. Come here with your doubts and your anxieties, your needs and your strength. Because the church truly needs you to become what the church is called to be. A place where faith is practiced rather than creed. Where there's love rather than habit. Where worship together is alive and living rather than dull and staid. Where the language of compassion is spoken rather than the voice of authority. My dream is that the church will become the place where you come as you are to become all that you can be. My hope is that your soul deep desire for God will be nourished and nurtured you, and that you will discover a word that gives you hope and empowers you. In this changing time, the church is called to be an embodiment of grace in a multicultural, multifaceted world. The church is not called upon only to soothe those who are already here, but to invite and to welcome all those who would never want to be here because they believe that they're not welcome. I hope that this church is one that looks as diverse as the world we live in. Every size, every shape, every color of people. I hope that this place continues to be a place that is bursting with activity. I truly hope and believe that this is such a place. And I will pray that each of us will be a part of it for our entire lives. Amen.
In our prayers today, we pray for Tom Gregory, who is recovering from surgery at Waukesha Memorial Hospital, for Don Hench in the hospital at Wheaton Franciscan St. Francis, and we pray for their family and friend caregivers. Pray for Mary Beth Stevenson and her family as they mourn the loss of her father, Commander Leon M. Steve Stevenson, Jr., who passed away on September 8, 2015 in Jacksonville, Florida. We celebrate the engagement of Cindy Davis and Randy Sitzberger to be married. Cindy is the daughter of Sandy Davis and the late Stu Davis. We celebrate the wedding of Tori Holtz and Kurt Redeman, who were married on September 6th. Tori is the daughter of Pete and Barb Holtz. And we, of course, thank God for the blessings of the young and old who volunteered to serve on the ASP mission team, and the blessings of all those who helped them in any way, and of course, the extra contributions which help fund the extra projects that we learned about today. We add our prayers to those written intentions outside the Memorial Chapel. We pray for those intentions that are next to our neighbors in church today and those who cannot be here. I have also, I mentioned last week, the motorcycle accident in East Troy. I followed through on that a little bit more in the East Troy papers. And just realize the sadness of those who were injured, the killed person, and the driver and his family, now charged with homicide. We have so many intentions in this world, so many intentions deep within our hearts, and now let us pray in silence for those intentions that we have deep within our own hearts.
Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we, your children, come to you in prayer just as we are, with all of our worries and shortcomings, with our apprehension about the affairs of the world around us. We need you, Lord, to remind us that you are in this world. Remind us that you're not indifferent. Help us to know that you're here with us. We ask, Lord, that you help us to avoid those feelings of hopelessness. Inspire us to turn to you in prayer, to find a deep and comforting relationship with you. Sustain us with the hope and the encouragement that our prayer for your kingdom to come may not be in vain. May our prayers motivate us to act on your behalf, to lead this world to an ever-increasing knowledge and love of you. Help us to know that even though we are small and only one or two, that indeed we can make a difference. Dear God, draw us closer to one another in our church family. Help us to realize that we are here to use our gifts, to love and to minister to one another, to be the light in the midst of the darkness. All this we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.